The Black Cloud. An intruder from outer space, threatening the continuance of life on the planet Earth. Music will always be associated, at least in my mind, in the mind of those living today on the Earth, with the business of the Black Cloud. And for a very special reason, but we'll come to that later. I say of those living today on the Earth, because this is the year 2021, and it happened 57 years ago. The last surviving person who was actually concerned with it at close quarters was, to my knowledge, Sir John McNeill, and he has just died. It is from him that my astonishing knowledge of the Black Cloud has come. To go back a little way, let it be fully understood that the episode of the Black Cloud has always held a great fascination for me. The thesis that won me my fellowship at Queen's College, Cambridge, was concerned with some aspects of this epic event. That being so, it wasn't surprising that Sir John McNeill, one of Britain's best-known physicians and our late senior fellow, should have talked to me about it.
Blythe, I'm uncommonly interested in your thesis.
Thank you, sir, for saying so.
Since, as you know, I was actually a member of that select band of men and women at Norton Stowe in 1964, I should say that I am probably more interested in what you've written than anyone else on Earth.
You agree with my theories, sir?
Agree with them? My dear Blythe, it's not a question of my agreeing or disagreeing with any theories you've enunciated, because, you see, I know what happened. As far as I'm concerned, theory doesn't enter into it.
You mean you know more than has been revealed to the world?
Yes. But perhaps you too will know about it one day soon. And then you will be the only man on Earth to know the whole truth about the Black Cloud.
Sir?
I'm a very old man, Blythe. But I was one of the youngest in that group at Norton Stowe in 1964. Yes, as young as yourself. No, almost. I've outlived them all, I believe. But the end must be in sight for me. I don't believe that my knowledge should die with me.
You mean, sir, you intend passing it on to me?
I'm considering doing so. Well, perhaps in some ways, it might be better for the world if what I know did not survive me.
But you just said you believed it should be passed on.
Yes. So you can see, even at my time of life, with all the years I've had to consider it, I'm still uncertain of the course I should adopt. It comes ultimately to this. Do we want to remain big people in a tiny world, or to become little people in a vaster world?
This decision would have to be made if you revealed your knowledge of the Black Cloud.
Yes, it would have to be made.
Since the cloud disappeared 55 years ago and hasn't been seen again, I can't pretend to understand what you're hinting at.
No, of course you can't. Well, the first decision must be mine, whether I'm to pass my knowledge on to you. If I do so decide, then the greater decision will be yours.
But you make it sound as though I could hold the future of the world in my hands.
It could be so.
Naturally, you've stirred my curiosity in a most extraordinary fashion.
I believe I can take some credit for doing that years ago, when you were my student.
Well, I was interested in the subject even before meeting you, sir.
Why, Blythe? Can you tell me why?
Well, naturally, anyone interested in science has given a certain amount of attention to the Black Cloud story. In my case, well, my mother used to speak of it. Her mother was alive when the episode occurred.
Yes, your maternal grandmother. Go on, Blythe.
Well, I expect that's all, sir. I can't give any more reason than that. And it is true, of course, that you stimulated my curiosity.
Perhaps I was anxious to see what conclusions you'd reach, how close you'd get to the truth.
The official histories of the event...
Official histories, balderdash.
Well, of course, I could see that there were gaps.
Could you, Blythe? You could see that.
I'm sorry if my conclusions were absurd. Perhaps I hadn't the skill to...
Ah, now I wounded your pride. Blythe, dear fellow, do forgive me. I didn't mean that. You've done well, really well. If I didn't believe you had scientific skill and integrity far above the average, I wouldn't consider for a moment the step I'm contemplating. If I do pass my knowledge on to you, then you will be in possession of one of the most astonishing and terrifying stories in the whole history of mankind. In a little while, you may know what I mean when I say this. Yes, Blythe. I believe you may.
The death occurred today at his Buckinghamshire home of Sir John McNeill. Sir John, who was 86, was one of Britain's most distinguished physicians. He was particularly noted for the part he played in the affair.
Yes, come in.
Package just come for you, sir. Special delivery.
Oh, thank you, Horton. Well, good heavens, that's...
Something wrong, sir?
No, Horton, nothing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
From Sir John McNeill. A manuscript, another package, and a letter.
Queen's College, Cambridge, 19th of August, 2020. My dear Blythe, this information concerning the Black Cloud, for various cogent reasons, has never been made public and seems unknown to the writers of official histories. As you are aware, it has caused me much anxiety of mind to decide whether my knowledge shall pass away with me or not. Finally, I have decided to hand on my difficulties and uncertainties to you. These will, I believe, become clearer to you when you have read my manuscript. In addition to the manuscript, I am leaving you an envelope containing a roll of punched paper tape. I beg of you to guard this tape with the greatest care until you come to understand its significance. Sincerely, John McNeill.
Now I shall know the truth about the Black Cloud.
It was 8 o'clock along the Greenwich Meridian. In England, the wintry sun of the 7th of January, 1964, was just rising. Throughout the length and breadth of the land, people were shivering in ill-heated houses. In Los Angeles, it was midnight. And 120 miles to the south, the astronomers on Paloma Mountain had downed tools for their midnight snack.
Not a good night for your work, Phil.
You can say that again, Newt. Hopeless night. Too much high-level wind. As far as seeing is concerned, you can mark this night down as practically a complete write-off.
I'm glad my run is over. I'd be glad to get off to Pasadena in the morning.
Oh, something wrong, Newt?
I guess you can put it down to the wind. I hear it tonight on the mountainside, and it makes me think of my home in Norway and Greta.
I thought you were happy here.
Oh, Phil, so I am. I am happy. Everyone here in America's kind to me. I'm very lucky to have this studentship, 2 years in America. But sometimes my work is boring.
Yes, I guess it would be.
Photographing the night sky over and over again. Routine.
Oh, one night it might change. One night you might take a picture that'll startle the whole world. Then you'll be famous. Newt Jensen will take his place among the great astronomers of history.
Maybe. Anyway, whether that happens or not, it's great experience working in the world's greatest observatory. It will stand in my favor when I get back to Norway. I'll get a good job because of it and marry Greta.
Want some more coffee?
Oh, thanks, Andy.
Did I hear you're going off in the morning, Newt?
Yes, back to Pasadena. The moon is in the sky now, and that's no good for photography.
I wish I was going back to Pasadena tomorrow.
But Newt has to work when he gets there.
And is not impressed.
And is never impressed. You going to work through till Dornut?
Yes, yes, I will. Then I'll do my developing before I get the bus to Pasadena. I guess I'll do my sleeping on the bus.
Well, who knows? This may be the night.
The night?
The night when Knut Jensen makes his discovery that sets the world by its ears and puts his name in the Hall of Fame forever and a day.
That's not likely.
Well, you never know.
As it happened, that was the night when Knut Jensen made his discovery that set the world by its ears. That was the night when he took the picture that was to reveal the presence of the black cloud. He discovered it a week later, on the night of January the 14th, when he examined a certain set of photographic plates.
I can't believe it! This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me. I must talk to someone about it at once. Dr. Marlowe, that's the obvious person, the best brain at the observatory. Oh, if only he's at home! Hello? Dr. Marlowe? Oh, I'm so glad you're home. What? Oh, it's Knut Jensen. Doctor, I'm sorry to ring you at this time of night, but the most extraordinary thing has happened. Something I found on two of the pictures I've taken at Mount Palomar. I can't describe it to you over the phone. I'd like you to see this for yourself. And it's so unusual, I feel it can't wait. Yes, sir. I'll be right over. Like a hole in the sky. Or a gigantic black cloud. What can it mean?